Thursday, January 7, 2021, 6:35 a.m. Okay, I got up at 3 this morning and kind of took it easy. I woke to the fact that I missed yesterday. There was chaos in the capital of our nation, and so I watched a little bit of the news. I watched a bunch of footage on and news on YouTube, and I like to do that because it's amazing how biased any of the major news outlets are. Okay, the people that are in business to make news. Back in, when was it, 2008, I think, or something like that, when California had Proposition 8. Well, there were a bunch of supporters before the election for Proposition 8, which passed at that time. There were a bunch of supporters, and I live just off of Sunrise Boulevard in Sacramento County, which extends from all the way down past 50. How far does Sunrise go? It goes all the way to Jackson Highway and up through to Citrus Heights through my little unincorporated village of Fair Oaks. Anyway, I live just, a couple of hundred yards away from Sunrise Boulevard. Anyway, so on the way traveling one day, we were coming home from church, and pulling out of the church parking lot, and then taking a turn and turning onto Sunrise Boulevard. It was just amazing. There were supporters of Proposition 8, which I had never heard of at the time, and just lining Sunrise Boulevard. Okay. And Fair Oaks starts where the American River Bridge is. And I didn't go that far south. I just went down to, I took a ride onto going south on Sunrise Boulevard to Winding Way. And on both sides of the street, there was just tons. I mean, a bunch of people, shoulder to shoulder with signs, you know. And so I made a U-turn there at Winding Way. And I went all the way down. And same story all the way down Sunrise Boulevard, with maybe just a few gaps of people, but basically just shoulder to shoulder people in support of Proposition 8, okay? All the way down to Greenback Lane. And I guess down there was some counter-protesting too. So I came back, and at the time I had the ability to record news program and anything I wanted, so I recorded all the local news programs to see what the news was going to cover on this, because it was just amazing. I mean, why wouldn't a news company cover it, you know, all these people and everything? I mean, unless they didn't hear about it, which I guess is possible. But anyway, so one local affiliate, major affiliate, covered it, and that was the Fox affiliate. Excuse me. And they really downplayed it. You know, I mean, I thought it was pretty spectacular. I mean, there were lots and lots of people out there. It was just amazing how many people were out there. And so they made it look like, oh yeah, there were a couple hundreds. No, there were more than just a couple hundred. You know, there is you know, over 1,000 people out there easily. I've been on the March for Life West Coast, and I've seen that grow from roughly 15,000 people to almost 30,000 people on the different times that I went, and I stopped going mainly because it was just so tiring. And the bus ride itself is just tiring. And, you know, the walk itself was kind of fun, but anyway, so I got a pretty good idea of how many people there are, you know, out there. And there were more than just a couple hundred, okay? And they also reported, they also made it look like, oh, there were counter-protesters, you know, and they made it sound, they didn't say it, but they made it sound like there was an equal amount of counter-protesters, which there were not. There was just a small fraction of counter-protesters down at the end, and they interviewed them. They didn't interview the pro people. They interviewed the counter-protester people. So that was an eye-opener for me for news outlets. And I kind of got that I kind of had that idea already that, you know, yeah, things get skewed, but man, that was a big skew, you know. So on something that happened yesterday, you know, I'll watch the main news on both sides of the aisle, because I want to get a good picture of what's going actually happening. But to get the unfiltered footage and commentary from some of the YouTube reporters that are totally independent, that just have their own channel, and you know, they may be biased towards one side or the other, but at least truthfully, they're pretty darn close, you know, with just a commentary being colored in some way, but as far as giving you the raw footage, you get the raw footage, you know, you can see for yourself what's happening. And I've been doing that the whole time, all summer long, with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter people, following all that. And so it was just surprising to see that these Trump supporters, for me, that they would do that. And as it turns out, that it sounded like the president himself incited these people enough for them to go down there and invade the spaces of Congress and the Senate, and you know, and I don't, he'll never admit to that. So but that's what it kind of looks like to me, or as, from what I can tell from gleaning everything from everybody. And now you've got a bunch of people that used to support him, not supporting him, and people that hated him, even hating him even more, and calling for his complete annihilation. As far as the country's concerned, so this pretty much illustrates a lot of what's happening, and it's happening not just to the people that feel that they're not being heard, that black people are being targeted by the authorities, unjustly, or that media is against what people want this country, the conservative viewpoint is. It's just a frustration, and that's what's going to happen, you know, when you try to shut all that down, or dismiss it, or downplay it, it just makes people more frustrated, you know. So and that's the bad part about a lot of what's going to happen, is that now there's going to be even more censorship, which is the opposite of what we really need. Okay, we really need more dialogue. We need to hear what people think. Okay, but it's up to the individuals not to do things like happened yesterday, or has been happening all summer long. Okay, with the riots and everything. It's up to the individuals, and so there's nothing that you're going to be able to do about that. You shut down. Okay, especially these people, these Trump supporters that did this yesterday, you shut them down, you make them shut up, and you make them go underground, and they're going to have the means to really do some real damage. Okay, there's going to be somebody in that group that's that has the means to make a really big bomb and put it in a strategic area and have a bunch of followers have a coordinated attack against something, somewhere, okay? They'll make Antifa look like a bunch of kids with sticks with pointy ends on the end, which they were, and fireworks. Anyway, so that's, you know, that kind of bums me out when I see shit like that. I don't like to see it. We should listen to what other people say and as long as there are people of goodwill and they're complaining about stuff, you should listen, you know, you should listen to what they have to say. And that goes for both sides. But each side is so concerned with winning their point and annihilating the idea of the other side that that we can't get to that point. You know, and what happened yesterday, that was kind of a sacred space in our nation, you know, where our ultimate differences, the Congress and the Senate, can be debated, you know, our ultimate differences can be debated, and we can go there nonviolently and work everything out. And get to a point where, for the good of the people, we get things done. Okay, that's what our country's been about. But yesterday it was invaded, you know, by people that think that's what they're preserving, but they're not. They weren't preserving that. Okay, they were actually working against it, and any criticism they get, I think is justified. Just like any criticism that the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa people got during the summer for burning stuff down and looting and all that, they deserved also. You know, there is no excuse for either one of those acts on both sides. You know, there people, some Black Lives Matter leader was trying to make an excuse for the looting, you know, that it's reparations. Bullshit. It's just plain looting. You know, they used to, back in the day, they used to shoot looters, okay? And that would stop people doing that stuff right then and there. But we don't do that anymore. We don't shoot people for property. You know, no matter how much you might think they deserve it. Anyway, so, I'm not too happy with stuff. And, you know, it kind of bums me out because it makes me want to not do anything political in my paintings. Okay? And right now I got 1, 2, 3, 4 paintings going that all have some kind of political undertones. The big painting, The Whiteness of the Whale, it didn't start off that way. But it looks like it's going to end that way, and with, you know, and not a big heavy, it has to be, I guess. It is kind of a big commentary on the political racial divisiveness in our country, which you know, in a lot of ways, Moby Dick was a commentary on the racial divisiveness in our country at the time, you know, over 100 years ago. And it's still going on today, which makes me think it's a good topic to paint about. But originally, I just wanted to learn more about the pigment white, you know, and it turned into this painting. And then my painting after that was Man Controller of the Universe, and the reason for painting that was you know, I was looking at Diego Rivera's, I had been looking at it for a couple of years, and his viewpoint of a man at the crossroads at that time, back in the 1930s, you know, and socialism and all that. I wanted to make a commentary, you know, that you know, because he thought man was at a point where he could actually affect a lot of change and change a lot of things, you know. But my viewpoint is that, yeah, we can change some things, but you cannot change human nature. Human nature is going to always be the way it is. That's a constant in our history. Okay, it's not going to change. That's why we have the problems we have today. And the some of the things I depict in my painting are things that right now man has no way of controlling. You know, you're never going to control a super volcano popping up in the middle of Wyoming or someplace, you know, in the middle of Yellowstone. There's no way you're going to control that. It's just going to go when it decides to go, just like Mount St. Helens. Okay? So then I have my other painting, which is a commentary on socialism. And, of course, I have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as the main focal point of this painting. And but I want to make the paintings interesting to look at, not just the political commentary. And the next painting I just started, and it kind of put me off as far as making political statements. But this other painting I'm working on now, the gallery that I'm associated, Blue Lion Arts Gallery. Annually has a bra show in support of breast cancer. They have this little bra show that they do, and you can anything that would return that refers to bras you can put up. Anyway, so I was gonna do one of those, and it's you got the regular maiden form. I rode the canals of Venice in my maiden form bra. I remember that commercial from when I was younger. and it's kind of like an empowerment thing. So I thought I'd do that. I've got a idea here that I'm working on. I don't know how well it's going to work, but it's going to be. I felt I was an empowered woman, and I felt very empowered in my maiden form bra, and it's some woman in her little studio apartment with the door getting broken open by some creep that's obviously there to do no good, but here she is in her bra, but she's reaching into her purse, pulling out a Colt 45 to deal with it and being empowered. So, and it kind of makes me not want to do these kind of paintings. I kind of want to go back to making this, you know, like some family paintings, painting my grandmother, which I've been wanting to do for a while, or my grandfather, or my father, you know, maybe my older sister that died. I already did one with my mom, and that was an emotionally wrenching painting for me to do. My mom was still alive at the time, but it was very emotional for me to do that painting. She was not in good health at the time, and and you can see that painting on my website, which is Comfort Food. I think I will kind of keep working on this just to see where it goes. I could always just sand it down and start over again on this panel, which is nice. That's it, I guess, for now. 2:22 p.m. Okay, so I think since the last time I started to paint, I did go out and take the dog out and fed him, picked up his poop, came back in, drank my coffee, and watched some more news about what happened yesterday. And came back and painted. So I painted until now. There's a apartment scene. I think I'm making it a studio apartment. And there's a big floor area. And the floor area and the countertop area take up most of the surface of the painting. And so I gave a couple of coats to that, playing around with that a little. Drew the other figure in, the guy breaking in the door, at the door. And let's see. So, working. That's all I'm doing. That's it for today.